American consumers have been saddled with high inflation and rising interest rates. Now, turmoil in the banking sector could add another challenge.
So goes the consumer, so goes the economy. So if consumers really pull back, we will see rising job losses in areas that serve those consumers. And when there is more job losses, that leads to even more diminished economic activity.
And the major U.S. stock indexes close higher ahead of Fed Day. Plus, the leaders of China and Russia play up their solidarity and deepen economic and political ties. It's Tuesday, March 21st. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Let's start with markets. A rise in bank stocks lifted the broader market, with all three major U.S. indexes ending the day with gains. Shares of First Republic are still on a wild ride, largely rebounding after dropping more than 47% in the previous session. We'll be keeping a close eye on the markets tomorrow when the Federal Reserve announces its decision on rate hikes. It's a tough decision as the Fed contends not only with inflation, but also with recent turmoil in the banking sector. Meanwhile, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says the government could step in to protect depositors at more banks if regulators see the risk of a run. Speaking at a gathering of the American Bankers Association in Washington today, Yellen tried to shore up confidence in the U.S. banking sector after the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank earlier this month.
Our intervention was necessary to protect the broader U.S. banking system. And similar actions could be warranted if smaller institutions suffered deposit runs that posed the risk of contagion.
In the housing market, existing home prices fell from a year earlier in February for the first time in 11 years. The National Association of Realtors also reported that median home prices are down more than 12% from a June record. Sales of previously owned homes, which make up most of the housing market, rose 14.5% in February, but were well down from a year earlier. Rising mortgage rates have pushed buyers out of the market as the Federal Reserve raises interest rates to slow down the economy. Demand slowed sharply in some markets, especially in Western states. In a closely watched summit in Moscow, China and Russia pledged to deepen their economic ties and political relations. The meeting between Chinese leader Xi Jinping and Russian President Vladimir Putin was the 40th between the two leaders. Our Moscow bureau chief Ann Simmons has more on the three-day meeting.
Both of these countries have sent a message to the West and to their own people that they have support from one another, that Russia has China's support, and particularly from an economic standpoint, China has helped to fill the economic hole, if you wish, that Russia has faced due to the series of sanctions imposed on Russia by the West. And it's a strong message that Mr. Xi can send to his people, that he is on the world stage as trying to present China as being a peace broker.
We've previously reported that Xi is expected to call Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky after this trip for the first time since Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Western officials have dismissed China's diplomatic overture. We are exclusively reporting that more than two dozen state governments have placed web tracking code made by TikTok parent ByteDance on official websites. That's according to a review by the Toronto-based cybersecurity company Farout Security. That means U.S. state governments around the country could inadvertently be helping the Chinese-owned ByteDance collect data. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have said that could be harmful to national security and the privacy of Americans. TikTok has emphasized that its user data is stored in the U.S., not China, and has pledged to safeguard U.S. user data from Chinese government access or influence. In Delaware, a judge heard arguments today from Fox News and Dominion Voting Systems, both of which are seeking a win without the case going to trial. Dominion sued Fox News for defamation in 2021 and is seeking $1.6 billion in damages. It alleges that the network endorsed false claims that the voting machine company helped rig the presidential election against former President Donald Trump. Fox News argues it was reporting on newsworthy allegations made by Trump supporters. National Legal Affairs reporter Erin Mulvaney explains what's at stake in the case.
Dominion believes that any media outlet could potentially air false claims on the air or in a newspaper or in any kind of media if Fox is allowed to escape liability here. And Fox says that this is a case where the freedom of the press is really at stake. And it's very rare that we get in the heads of media executives and on-air hosts in these instances. So I think that's why this is being very closely watched, because there are very different views of how these statements affect defamation at the end of the day.
Fox Corp and News Corp, the parent company of Wall Street Journal publisher Dow Jones, share common ownership. And a rare and often deadly fungus has been detected in most states in the U.S. Candida auris infections have grown from dozens to more than 2,000 annual cases in a few years, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, raising the pressure to find new treatments. The CDC says the fungus has a mortality rate of up to 60% and is particularly risky for people who are older or who have compromised immune systems. According to experts, most transmissions have occurred in healthcare facilities that provide long-term care to very sick patients. Coming up, how the banking crisis could impact U.S. consumers.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
U.S. consumers spent a lot during the height of the pandemic, and that spending helped lift the economy out of a recession. But lately, Americans are starting to pull back as inflation and rising interest rates have started taking a toll. Spending at retailers declined in February, according to the Commerce Department, and that's before a handful of banks failed. Now, the turmoil in the banking sector threatens a broader pullback and may shake consumer confidence. That's a problem because U.S. spending accounts for 70% of the economy. Gabriel Rubin is our national economics reporter, and he joins me now to talk more about this. Hi, Gabe. Welcome back.
Great to be here.
So let's go back, but not too far, to the start of this year. Economic data showed a hot start to the year, and it's now cooling off a bit. What has that meant when it comes to U.S. consumers?
So far, consumers have been pretty resilient, and we have seen some cooling off in areas like retail sales or restaurant sales, and definitely a bit of cooling off in bigger purchases as well, like for things like cars or furniture. But that pullback has been quite gradual and pretty uneven to this point. And given that we haven't seen a spike in unemployment and inflation has cooled a bit, consumers aren't, at least in the aggregate, in terrible shape, at least right now.
But now we have the banking turmoil, which has added a new wild card to the mix. So what's the thinking on how that could impact consumers and spending?
Yeah, so what the Fed is trying to do is to tighten financial conditions. So what we're seeing in the market is the effect of those tighter financial conditions. And the increased stress to these banks actually makes those conditions even tighter because lending standards get tighter and there's less money at these banks to actually make loans to consumers or to businesses, which stimulates economic activity.
What about consumers moving their deposits to other banks or other safe havens? What impact will that have on the economy?
Yeah, so that activity also serves to tighten financial conditions, because banks use money that they get from deposits for loans. They take the money that customers entrust to them and they lend it out, and that's how the banking system works. So when people and businesses withdraw that money from their checking or savings account and they put it into an account that might have higher returns, banks can lend less, and that leads to less economic activity.
Gabe, a lot of economists would tell you that psychology has a lot to do with this. So how are Americans feeling right now about the economy?
Yeah, consumer sentiment fell in March, according to the University of Michigan, for the first time in 4 months. And inflation expectations have also declined somewhat. So that suggests that U.S. consumers are expecting for there to be a slowdown in the economy, for there to be perhaps recessionary style conditions, and they're bracing for that. But that also means that inflation will likely come down over the course of this year as well.
The Fed, of course, is meeting this week. Today and tomorrow we will know their decision on rate hikes. How would that decision affect consumer behavior and spending if rates increase, stay the same, or even decrease, as some have been expecting?
Yeah, I doubt we'll see a decrease, at least at the moment. And we do expect the Fed to raise rates perhaps one more time in this cycle. But that will just contribute to increasingly tight financial conditions that will probably lead the economy into a recession at some point in the not too distant future. So in terms of an individual person, an individual consumer or worker, they might be more worried about their job prospects, if their company is getting less business, or if it's tougher to expand. And they're certainly thinking about the purchases that they're going to be making over the course of the next several months. So higher interest rates really do have a very blunt effect in damping down economic activity.
Given that consumer spending makes up the lion's share of the economy, if we do see the strength of U.S. consumers diminishing, what ripple effects would that have on the economy?
Yeah, so goes the consumer, so goes the economy. So if consumers really pull back, we will see rising job losses in areas that serve those consumers. And when there is more job losses, that leads to even more diminished economic activity because all of those people who used to be taking home a paycheck will no longer be taking home a paycheck. And that will really slow the economy down and probably result in some sort of a recession.
Wall Street Journal national economics reporter Gabe Rubin. Gabe, thank you so much.
It's great to be with you.
And finally, navigating Walt Disney World is harder than ever. Dense crowds, high prices, and a complicated reservation system. It's enough to make the prospect of someone else doing all the planning a lot more appealing. Disney's created a service to do just that, a pricey VIP experience that includes door-to-door service and unlimited access to all the rides. Now, third-party operators are cropping up as competition. But while they're charging less to help families navigate the park, they can't always offer the same access. Our travel reporter Jacob Passy says Disney's tolerating them for now.
The companies have to follow Disney's rules. If they break any of the rules, like cutting lines or advertising their services in the parks, things like that, then Disney reserves the right to ban those companies. But generally speaking, Disney allows them. And the tour guides say they are making Disney money. They pay for tickets just like regular guests. They're buying food just like regular guests. So Disney is certainly benefiting from these companies, but they're not exactly giving them the red carpet treatment.
And even the third-party operators can come with quite a hefty price tag. Many charge $1,000 and up for their services. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.